This is Bing Su from China, and you are listening to Everybody ESL.
Welcome to episode 42 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and today I have another good episode for you. The Everybody ESL podcast can be found in the Apple iTunes Store, on the Stitcher app, on TuneIn Radio, and wherever you find your podcasts. If you have any questions for me about anything you learn in this episode, anything you've learned in a previous episode, or anything that is confusing you about English, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Okay, let's get on with this episode. The theme for this episode's vocabulary is a little bit different. This time, I'm going to teach you about acronyms. Do you know what an acronym is? Well, acronym is A-C-R-O-N-Y-M. An acronym is a kind of abbreviation. It's an abbreviation made up of the initials of a bunch of words. Let me give you a couple of examples I think you might already be familiar with. Have you ever heard of the TOEFL test, or maybe the TOEIC test? Well, TOEFL is an acronym. It stands for the Test of English as a Foreign Language, T-O-E-F-L, TOEFL. And TOEIC stands for the Test of English for International Communication, T-O-E-I-C, TOEIC. So those are two examples of acronyms. It's a sequence of initials that we pronounce like a word, TOEFL and TOEIC. And here are some other acronyms that you might find useful. The first one is ASAP, A-S-A-P. Have you ever heard anyone say ASAP? Now, sometimes we do just use it as a string of letters, A-S-A-P, and sometimes people pronounce it like a word, ASAP. Well, that stands for as soon as possible, ASAP. I need you to call me back ASAP, as soon as possible. How about POTUS, P-O-T-U-S, POTUS? That stands for President of the United States. The president is sometimes referred to as POTUS. And that leads to some very similar acronyms. SCOTUS, S-C-O-T-U-S, the Supreme Court of the United States. And FLOTUS, F-L-O-T-U-S, the First Lady of the United States, the president's wife, is sometimes called FLOTUS. Not usually, but sometimes. How about STEM? S-T-E-M. Have you ever heard anyone talk about careers in STEM? Well, STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. This one has its origin in military slang. This is something that started with soldiers. The word is AWOL, spelled A-W-O-L, AWOL. AWOL stands for absent without leave. That means absent without permission. So a soldier who was supposed to be on the base, on the army base, but who was somewhere else, because he didn't want to be on the army base, he was AWOL. He was absent without leave, absent without permission. So if somebody is not where they are supposed to be, you can describe them as AWOL, absent without leave, which means absent without permission. Here's another one that started in the military, snafu. Have you ever heard anyone talk about a snafu? That's S-N-A-F-U. And that stands for situation normal, all f***ed up. I had to bleep out one of those words. Sometimes people say that snafu stands for situation normal, all fouled up. It means the same thing. It means a situation that is a total mess, a situation that is completely out of control. And you will hear people use the word snafu, even people who are not soldiers or who never were soldiers, and that's where it comes from. It is an acronym. Well, here is a more recent acronym, GIF, sometimes pronounced GIF, G-I-F. That stands for Graphics Interchange Format. And that's a kind of a file that you might see on the internet. You might see a funny GIF or GIF. I think most people pronounce it GIF, but I have heard that the person who invented this kind of image or this kind of file prefers the pronunciation GIF. So, I don't know. Here's another one that I like. NIMBY. N-I-M-B-Y. NIMBY. This one I have not heard lately. It used to be used in newspapers a fair amount. It stands for not in my backyard. So a NIMBY, or maybe a person with a NIMBY attitude, was somebody who wanted the government to do something, maybe build a new prison or build some kind of a factory, but who did not want it built anywhere in his neighborhood. He did not want it built in his backyard. So that kind of person was sometimes called a NIMBY, because their attitude was, not in my backyard, N-I-M-B-Y, NIMBY. And the last acronym on our vocabulary list is SIM card. SIM card, S-I-M-C-A-R-D. Well, the SIM card is part of your cell phone. It's the part that you can pop out of your cell phone and put into a new phone, and it has all of your information. I didn't even know that SIM was an acronym. I just discovered that today. SIM, S-I-M, stands for Subscriber Identification Module. So you can see why people would prefer to call it SIM. It's a lot easier than saying, oh, I have to remove the Subscriber Identification Module card from my phone. Much easier to call it a SIM card. Well, that is the list of acronym vocabulary for this episode. This episode's grammar lesson is comparatives and superlatives. Do you know what comparatives and superlatives are? They are special forms of adjectives that describe things that are more than and things that are the most. So comparatives describe things that are more, and superlatives describe things that are the most. Here's a simple example. That tree is taller than that other tree. That tree is more tall. That's the comparative form. That tree is taller than all the other trees. Or I could say, that tree is the tallest of all the trees near my house. Tallest is the superlative form of tall. It means the most tall. I think comparatives and superlatives are not too difficult, but of course, there are some complications. Let me tell you the two basic rules for using comparatives and superlatives. The first basic rule is that one-syllable adjectives form the comparative by adding er, or er, and they form the superlative by adding est, or ist. Now, the first complication with rule number one is that there are sometimes some spelling changes that happen. And I'm not going to talk about spelling changes in this episode. If this is something that you find especially confusing, and you would like to learn more about it, let me know, and I will make sure to do a lesson on these kinds of spelling changes. But for now, we're going to ignore complications of spelling. But there's another complication with rule number one, and that is there are three very common adjectives that have one syllable that do not follow rule number one. Those three very common one-syllable adjectives are good, bad, and far. So the comparative form of good is not gooder, and the superlative form is not goodest. No, those follow the pattern, but they are not actual words. The comparative of good is better, and the superlative of good is best. And when it comes to bad, the comparative is worse, and the superlative is worst. The comparative of far is farther or further, and the superlative of far is farthest or furthest. Well, that's rule number one. What about rule number two for using comparatives and superlatives? Rule number two says that adjectives that have more than one syllable form their comparatives by adding the word more to the front, and they form the superlative by adding the word most to the front. Here's an example. How about the word enormous? Enormous means very big, very large. Well, enormous has more than one syllable. Enormous. It has three syllables. So rule number two tells us that the comparative is formed with the word more, more enormous, and the superlative is formed with the word most, most enormous. But there are some words with more than one syllable that don't follow rule number two. I don't know why they don't follow rule number two. They just don't. And here are some of those words: narrow, simple, and quiet. These are all pretty common words, and they don't follow the pattern. So the typical comparative for narrow is narrower, not more narrow, even though it's a word with more than one syllable. And the same is true for simple and quiet and some other words. Now there's another set of adjectives that don't follow rule number two, and this one makes a little bit more sense because they all have something in common. Here's how these words work. Adjectives of more than one syllable that end in the letter Y do not usually follow rule number two. Let me give you a simple example. The adjective happy has more than one syllable. Happy, that's two syllables. It has more than one syllable, and it ends in Y. And so it does not usually form its comparative and superlative by adding more and most. No, it forms the comparative and superlative by adding ER, which gives us happier, and it forms the superlative by adding EST, which gives us happiest. Now again, just like I said with rule number one, there are some spelling changes that happen here, but this is already complicated enough before we have to get into spelling changes. Here are some other examples of this kind of exception. Adjectives of more than one syllable that end in Y. Besides happy, there's also, for instance, lucky. So the comparative of lucky is luckier, and the superlative is luckiest. For ugly, we have uglier and ugliest. And for costly, which means expensive, we have costlier and costliest. Well, that is the basic story about creating and using comparative and superlative adjectives. I think at the end of this episode, I'm going to give you a little quiz about making comparatives and superlatives. This episode's small talk topic or social situation is one that I think is almost universal. I think it's something we have all experienced at one time or another. Imagine that you are out somewhere. You're in a store or a restaurant or a shopping center or someplace like that, and you need to use the bathroom. But you don't know where the bathroom is, so you find an employee, you find somebody who works there, who you can ask. But what do you say? What should you ask? Have you ever wondered about this? Are you not sure about how to ask this question? It's very simple. So learn this, and you will never have to worry about this situation again. All you need to say is, "Excuse me," because, as you know, usually when we start talking to a stranger, we say, "Excuse me." "Excuse me, could you tell me where the bathroom is?" "Excuse me, could you tell me where the bathroom is?" That's just a standard, polite request, and it's really as simple as that. Now, you could also say, "Excuse me, could you tell me where the ladies' room is?" The women's bathroom is sometimes referred to as the ladies' room. Or, "Excuse me, could you tell me where the men's room is?" Because the men's bathroom is sometimes referred to as the men's room. Another word you will often hear in the United States is restroom. It means the same thing as bathroom. So you could say, "Excuse me, could you tell me where the restroom is?" Now, here's one thing you should know. In some English-speaking countries, they often use the word toilet to mean the bathroom or the restroom. And Americans almost never use the word this way. So if you go up to someone and say, "Excuse me, could you tell me where the toilet is?" they will understand exactly what you mean, but it will sound a little bit strange, because Americans just almost never use the word toilet to mean a public bathroom. They use bathroom or restroom or ladies' room or men's room. So just practice those simple, polite requests. "Excuse me, could you tell me where the bathroom is?" "Excuse me, could you tell me where the ladies' room is?" "Excuse me, could you tell me where the men's room is?" "Excuse me, could you tell me where the restroom is?" And if you can master those simple sentences, and I'm sure you can, then you will never need to worry about that social situation again. And now it's time for the joke of the week. Every single person's favorite part of the podcast. Although maybe it's not really anybody's favorite part of the podcast. These are jokes that are usually not very funny, but I still think they are useful because they can show us interesting things about English. Well, this episode's joke is, when do doctors get mad? When do doctors get mad? Do you have any thoughts on that? When do doctors get mad? Well, here is the answer. When do doctors get mad? When they run out of patients. When they run out of patients. Do you get that? Do you know why this is a joke? Do you know why it's supposed to be funny? Well, it's pretty simple. Patience has two very different meanings. When we spell it P-A-T-I-E-N-C-E, patience, that means your ability to wait, your ability to be satisfied, your ability to be content and peaceful and just wait for the thing that you want. But when we spell patience P-A-T-I-E-N-T-S, then it's the plural of the noun patient. And a patient is somebody who is experiencing some kind of event, like a medical event, somebody who is being treated by a doctor, somebody who is being treated by maybe a counselor, somebody who is undergoing that kind of usually medical experience is a patient. So you have a patient in a hospital, or a patient in an examination room, or a patient in a doctor's office. So this joke relies on the fact that there are two meanings of patience. So when you run out of patience, when you're not able to take your time and wait and cooperate, when you run out of patience, you get angry. You get mad. Or maybe doctors get mad when they run out of patients, when they have no more people to help. They have no more people to treat. They run out of patients. So two meanings of the word patients, and that's why this joke is hilarious and the best joke you'll hear all week. That's probably not true, but maybe if you try this joke on some friends of yours, maybe you can get them to smile. Okay, as promised, it is now quiz time. I'm going to give you a quiz about comparative and superlative adjectives. I have 7 adjectives, and I want you to write down the comparative and superlative forms of these 7 adjectives. I hope you've studied. Here is adjective number 1, strange. Strange. Write down the comparative and superlative forms of strange. Number 2, shy. What are the comparative and superlative forms of shy? Number 3, wonderful. Number 4, sloppy. What are the comparative and superlative forms of sloppy? Number 5, clumsy. In case you're not sure, that's C-L-U-M-S-Y, clumsy. Number 6 is nervous. What are the comparative and superlative forms of nervous? And the last word on our test is slippery. Write down the comparative and superlative forms of slippery. Okay, here are the answers. If you're not ready to hear the answers yet, just pause this and come back when you are ready. So, for number 1, strange, the comparative form is stranger, and the superlative form is strangest. This one is not unusual. It follows rule number 1, a one-syllable adjective, and it forms the comparative by adding er, and it forms the superlative by adding est. Yes, there are some spelling complications, but we're going to ignore spelling for now. Number 2, shy. The comparative form is shyer, with some spelling problems, and the superlative form is shyest, with some spelling complications. Number 3, the comparative of wonderful is more wonderful, and the superlative is most wonderful. This word follows rule number 2. It has more than one syllable, so it forms the comparative and the superlative by adding more and most. Number 4, sloppy. The comparative is sloppier, and the superlative is sloppiest. This is one of those exceptions to rule number 2. It's an adjective of more than one syllable that ends in a Y, so it uses ER and EST for the comparative and the superlative. And the same is true for word number 5, clumsy, another two-syllable adjective that ends in Y. So the comparative is clumsier, and the superlative is clumsiest. Number 6, nervous. The comparative is more nervous, and the superlative is most nervous. This is another word that follows rule number 2. And the last word, number 7, slippery. The comparative form is slipperier, and the superlative is slipperiest, because this is one of those exceptions to rule number 2. It's an adjective that has more than one syllable, but it ends in Y, so it uses er and est. Now, I think if you said more slippery and most slippery, those would be okay too. Those would sound pretty natural. But it's important to notice that this is an adjective that doesn't have to follow rule number 2. So you can have perfectly good forms like slipperier and slipperiest. Okay, well, how did you do on this quiz? Well, that's the end of episode 42 of Everybody ESL. Remember, if you have any questions or comments or suggestions, or if you would like to record the introduction to another episode of the podcast the same way you heard Bing Su's introduction to this episode, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with another episode, and until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.